Welcome to the Mike Litton Experience Podcast. Mike has over 31 years experience in real estate, finance, and investing. He's passionate about being a father, a teacher, a realtor, an investor, and a leader. Everyone has a story, and our passion is to help them tell it. And now, introducing the host of the Mike Litton Experience, Mike Litton.
So what can you expect from the Mike Litton Experience? You can expect stories that will inspire, motivate, advice that will sharpen your focus, and expert information on real estate, finance, and market conditions. Deborah Razzo, thank you so much for being our guest on the Mike Litton Experience. I'm super excited for our time together. And like we talked about before we hit record, everybody has a story and our passion is to help them tell it. So with your permission, we're going to start with where you were born, go all the way up to today. And we want to talk about what you're working on with the Women's Real Estate Network and anything you're working on for tomorrow. Okay.
Sounds great.
I'm so excited to have you here. So where were you born?
I was born in the Panama Canal Zone.
There you go.
My father was in the service. So,
oh my goodness, how cool is that?
I was the baby of the family. Yeah. So, you know, and all that goes with that, right? My brothers and sisters, you know, still reference me that way. Say, yeah, she's the spoiled one.
Oh, there's some advantages to that.
There are.
So you were born in the Panama Canal area. Where did you grow up?
I really grew up in Northern California, and okay. Then I transferred down to Southern California to go to school, okay. And I ended up here because I got married and had children and got divorced and, you know, in the typical LA life, I guess.
Yeah. So you're in Los Angeles now?
I am in Los Angeles now. Okay. Yeah. And I've been an entrepreneur for over 30 years. I've always had my own businesses. I have that fire in my belly. Yeah. And so that's always been something that I've had, but honestly, about 14 years ago was when there was a real turning point in my life.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people experience turning points, right? So for me, it was a car accident. Oh. And I know, like, you know, I had this opportunity to start over. And I didn't see it that way at the time, I'll tell you. Yeah. I was actually a passenger in an SUV, and it was as simple as, you know, a blown tire. Hmm. But what happened was we went into the dirt in the side of the road and got off the freeway because, you know, I actually was thinking, oh, we're gonna hit another car. Mm-hmm. And we went into the dirt, but the rim of the tire that was blown dug into the dirt and it flipped. Oh, so it flipped driver's side first. So me, the passenger, got the brunt of the impact. Mm-hmm. And I was eventually air-vac'd to a hospital where my head wound was put back together and I was told I had a broken neck.
Oh my goodness.
And that was just really, for me, the beginning of a different journey. Yeah. You know, and I know, like, you know, a lot of other people have things happening in their lives, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, for some people, it's, you know, the death of a loved one, or maybe, yeah. You know, you get fired from a job and, you know, there's this feeling of, okay, what's next?
Right.
You know, like it kind of clears the slate. And I think you don't really see the blessing at the time, yeah. you know, but for me, I had about a year to heal, which mm-hmm. was really a remarkable year. And I had a lot of time to think.
Yeah.
And my thoughts went to, what do I really want in my life? Life is short, right? I had this brush with yeah. death, right? And I was like, life is short. I need to live it how I really want to live it. And don't sure. get me wrong, I didn't have a bad life, but it wasn't really what I wanted. Like yeah. I had become an entrepreneur because, you know, I thought that it was going to give me this beautiful free lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And what I had really done is I had made my own job. Yeah. You know, like, yeah. Like most entrepreneurs out there, yeah. right?
It's true.
Yeah. And I wanted that thing called passive income. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't exactly know what that was at the time, but I read this little purple book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by yeah. Robert Kiyosaki.
Love that guy.
I know. And then I thought, yeah, I need to get me some of that. And yeah. I literally started Googling things after I was healed. And my brother, who is like sainthood, came out and took care of me a lot of that time. And I was a single parent and had two kids in high school. So it was a really trying time. He came out and took care of me. And during that year, we had a lot of time to talk. And he said, "You know, Deborah, if you really want to change your life, you're going to have to change here first. You're going to have to change your mindset first." And he had done a bunch of Tony Robbins events. And he's like, "Maybe when you're better, you can do some Tony Robbins events." And sure enough, after the doctors had signed off on me, I did my first Tony Robbins event. And then I dug in, I started drinking the Kool-Aid. And I actually now work for him. So,
I'm a Kool-Aid drinker too.
yeah,
I was
I'm really.
certified in sales mastery by Tony Robbins 35 years ago.
Oh my God, I remember, I've heard of that program. So, yeah, I'm a trainer for him. So, he flies us out to events, or we help online now, and we help others transform.
I love that.
So, and that also gave me the mindset to growing a different type of life. And I ended up going into real estate, and I wanted passive income. That was my outcome, like to lead a life of more freedom, you know? And I didn't have any money. My brother loaned me some money and I flipped a house. And then with that money, I started buying, single families. So I still have a small portfolio of single family residents in Memphis, Tennessee. And then I grew my skill sets and I started developing here in LA. And then I started buying multifamilies and then I started the Women's Real Estate Network, which is oddly like kind of a combination of wanting that financial independence, but also helping other women achieve the mindset that they can do whatever they want to, right? So it's been kind of a merge and a love of those two things. So yeah, it's been quite a journey, both of like growing. Growing and changing internally, and then that being reflected externally. And I think that a lot of people, I mean, me included, like, there's fear in change. There's, there's uncertainty, and sometimes you embrace it and it's exciting, and sometimes you're paralyzed by it, And
It's
I
the
think
fear of the
I've been
unknown,
through,
right?
yeah, I've been
You fear
through
that the
all that.
most of anything, yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a kind of a crazy journey these last 14 years. So,
That's
I don't
awesome.
know.
So let me ask you a couple of questions, if that's okay.
Sure.
So growing up, what was
Yeah.
your favorite thing about growing up where you grew up?
I grew up in a smaller town, so it was very neighborhood like we would go out in the street and play kickball in the evenings, like the mothers would come out and call, it's time for dinner, and then that's the only time you kind of came in. So it was a very safe community, and there was that feeling of, being known on the block and, being able to play all the time. So that
What
was fun.
town was it?
It's a little small town in Northern California called Vacaville.
I know of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've been there. That's
Yeah.
cool. So you grew up in Vacaville. Did you go to high school there?
I did. There was only one.
Yeah, it's a tiny place. It's a tiny place. So, did you have a favorite subject in high school?
Math. I was a math geek. I still am a math geek.
I love that.
I love my numbers. I love, spreadsheets.
So, growing up, who was the most influential person to you?
My math teacher.
Oh, really? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So he was married to the math teacher in junior high. The high
Oh.
school math teacher was married to the math teacher in junior
Oh,
high.
it's a
Right.
family thing.
Yeah. So it was kind of cool. And they used their math in really interesting ways. Like they were kite experts. And they would, use the dimensions of the kites and to get the maximum flight time and all that kind of stuff, which was kind of fun and creative way to use math.
And physics too, kind of an application.
Yeah, and so it was
Love
really
it.
intriguing to me, and I loved that they had this creative side to them,
That's so cool. So you leave high school, where do you go?
I went to Sacramento State University, and then I transferred there down to UCLA, and that's how I ended up in LA.
So you're a Bruin.
I am.
I
Woo,
love it.
woo, woo.
I love it. That's so cool. So is my brother-in-law, by the way. Shout out to the Bruins,
Bruins are
right?
the best.
UCLA,
Yeah.
baby. So did you, what did you, what was your degree in? What was your major?
Well, I thought I wanted to be a business major, but there was no such thing. So I became an economics major.
Oh.
And economics was a lot more studying economic history
Yeah.
than I was cut out for.
Oh.
And I really, my fifth year, I really wanted to graduate. I was done being a, like a poor student.
Yeah.
And I went into the counselor and I was like, what could I graduate with the classes I've taken? She's like, sociology. I'm like, I'm there.
Yeah.
Get
I'm
me
out
in.
of here.
So
Yeah.
I ended up being a sociology major.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay, so you get out of school, you
Yeah.
have a degree. Where do you go from there?
I love the music industry. I love music. I've always
Yeah,
loved music. And
I do too.
I got a job as a receptionist at a small music company.
Oh, cool.
And so and that was just really fun. And I got the opportunity to grow in the
Was that
company.
in LA? Okay.
And the company was really small. So I
Yeah.
got, I got the opportunity to grow. And eventually I started doing coordinating the photo shoots for publicity. And
Oh.
then the woman who headed up the creative department said, you've got a really good eye. Maybe you should come over to our department. And I did. And I was a volunteer workaholic. I found something I really loved. Like when you find something you really love, where you look up and you've been doing it for hours and you don't even realize that you've been doing it for hours.
Time flies, yeah.
Yeah. So I became a graphic artist,
Oh, cool.
and I got to do album covers and things for,
Oh,
artists.
how
So
awesome.
it was really cool. And eventually I worked myself up to the head of that department,
Yeah.
and that was really fun. Like it was a great time.
I love that.
Yeah.
So you're in graphics. How long were you in that? How long did you work for that company?
Gosh, I think I worked for them about 7 years, I think.
Yeah.
And I met
Where'd
my
you go after
husband
that?
there. He worked at the company.
Yeah.
So we got married and I got pregnant and then I had a baby. And then like everything was topsy-turvy. Like I guess I hadn't realized that I was at work long a lot,
Yeah.
right? So bringing, becoming a mother was like, oh my gosh, there's a lot more to this.
Yeah.
And I was just overwhelmed. And so we decided that I'd come home. And that's what I did. And so I was an at-home mom. And I thought, well, maybe I'll go work for another company just as an artist instead of running a department, because
Right.
it's a lot to run a department. And
And it gets you out of the
honestly,
house a little bit, right?
yeah.
Yeah.
And honestly, a producer that I worked with for the at the company came to called me and said, hey, I heard you're home. Do you think you could design this album while you're at home? And I was like, yeah, sure.
Why
She
not?
sleeps a lot. And honestly, that was the beginning of my first business.
Wow.
So I started designing just when she was sleeping, and then I had another baby, and now I have two, and now I have a marriage that's falling apart. And
Oh.
I just, had this decision, like I could either, put the kids, give the kids to someone to raise and I'll go get a job, or I could try to make something of this business that I
Right,
started kind
right.
of inadvertently. And I decided to try to make something of the business I started. So that was my first business. And it
Wow,
was
that's
so much
cool.
fun and it was really great. And I was really blessed,
And it freed you up so you could work from home
Yeah.
and raise the kids, and that's awesome. So
Yeah,
it gave
so
you
I
that
had ton
flexibility.
flexibility. Like if I
Yeah.
needed to pick up the kids from school or they had an event or whatever, I didn't have to worry about any of that. And I could work at night or work really early in the morning and get all my work done. And eventually I grew the studio and I had other people working for me and it was really great,
That's
so
awesome. So what
yeah.
made you get out of that business?
Well, while I was running that business, I also started, my entrepreneurial spirit had been ignited. And I started joint venturing with other businesses too. So I've had several different businesses. Some of them have been sold off, and some of them have crashed and burned.
Yeah. Welcome to the
That
world of an
that's the life
entrepreneur,
of an
right?
entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And my business started retracting because of the new ages of digital, right? Like, I mean, I come from an era where we used to have like these big liner notes, and there was a lot put into things, And I started getting really narrowed down to specialty, gift sets and boxes because, of my expertise. But now now I'm designing something that's just this little graphic for, Apple Music, or, it really changed, and, whole industry changed, and so did all the marketing for it, and so did all the books. And honestly, I was ready for a change, and then my accident happened, and then I was ready for a big change.
Then it was like life got turned on its head and let's figure something
Really,
out here.
yeah, for me, not to me, really, even though I don't think I realized it at the time,
Well, it's
so.
hard when you're in the middle of this battle, right? And you're trying to get back on your feet and you're trying to make things work and you've got two, you said two kids in high school, you know. I mean, having two kids in high school is enough, right? Pile onto that the fact that you're trying to get back to where you can walk again and function again and do all the things that you need to be able to do. Wow. I mean, that's a tough time. Thank God for your brother.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. And speaking hope into me, and understanding that this is just a period of time, right? And that, things will I'll find my way, right? And I did, and now I look back at that and I think, oh, this was actually a great turning point for me. I got to see things in a different light. And
Well, and the best thing about it is now you're a spokesperson for life can go back, life can improve, right? You can get through this. You can look at this a certain way. And sometimes the way you look at it is the difference between surviving this and thriving and failing, right?
it is. Yeah. And I think even more than that, life doesn't have to be where it is right now. Like, I think there was a part of me that felt like life would just have continued on, and I would have never gotten the time freedoms and the physical freedoms that I enjoy right now if that hadn't happened. And I think it's because, I mean, I don't know, I was, born to two, I'm first generation American. My father's Mexican and my mother's Irish, and neither one of them were, born in the United States. They came here. And I think, in that environment, I was taught, keep your head down, work hard, pay your bills, don't dream too much. You know what I mean? So I think, when this happened for me, I was like allowed to desire a different life. I gave myself permission, and I think that really changed things for me, and in a really positive way. And it also like influenced my children too, and part of the reason I did it was for my kids. Like, I'm like, okay, I'm at a turning point. I need to, make lemonade out of this. And so what, be an example of what can happen, what's the possibilities, and what can happen if you want it to, for my kids. And that's been a really cool thing to see them now, because now they're kind of adults. They are adults. They're in their 30s. Listen to me, I still think, oh, they're kind of adults.
Well, to me, my kids are 23 and 25, right? I look at my 23-year-old daughter and she's still six.
Isn't that
It's
funny?
crazy. You know what I mean? It's like I see her and she's in my eyes, right? It's crazy. I mean, it's, I could not be more proud of the woman she's become, right? Could not be more proud of her if I tried. Couldn't be more proud of my son who's 25 if I tried, right? I just every time I look at them, I see, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
I know, and it's funny. My son is, doesn't he lives out in DC, Washington DC now, and he came home at the holidays, and I mean he's a full grown adult living on his own, right? Like, he's, and yet there's a part of me that's like, are you hungry? I'll fix you something, and he's like, yeah. You know, so there's this part of us that wants to keep that.
You go back into those roles, right? Right. Yeah. Like, it's, I see it too. I see it too. I mean, you know, my son comes to town, we load up on bananas. Why do we load up on bananas? Because he eats every 15 minutes, right? And we don't eat that many bananas in this house. It's just me, my wife, and my daughter, right? And so all of a sudden, I know he's coming to town. Within 24 hours of him coming to town, there's a big thing of bananas on the counter in the kitchen. Yeah. I know he's coming to town, right?
Right.
And by the time he leaves, that bunch will be practically gone because he'll eat Thanksgiving dinner. I'm not joking. He'll eat Thanksgiving dinner. He'll eat enough for three people. 15 minutes later, he's in my mother's kitchen because we're at my mom's house, right? He's in my mother's kitchen grabbing a banana.
Isn't that funny?
It's fun. It's just, it'll knock you. It's like, what? Like, you know, we're all sitting there trying to figure out how we're going to digest what we just ate. Right?
Right.
And he's literally in there grabbing a banana. It's like, yeah.
But it's those things that.
And it's never changed.
Right.
It's never changed. It's like every meal he eats, 15 minutes later, he's grabbing a banana. It's like, what? You know, so yeah.
It's those just, things though, that make it fun and unique and.
Oh, sure.
Still like, oh, I'm still your parent. You're still my kid.
Yeah. Well, and you know, Tony talks about state changes, right? And I see a different person in my wife that I've been married to for 30 years, right? I see a different person when he comes to town and he's on his way to town, whatever, right? She goes back into mom mode.
Oh, right? Yeah.
It's crazy, but it's cool. It's a neat thing.
It is. You know, we all have that now, right? Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So tell us about working for Tony Robbins. I'm fascinated to know about this. How did you end up deciding to go to work with him?
So I had done all of his trainings, and there's a leadership track that you can go on, and then you can apply to be part of the leadership there. So right. I had done all that, and I was doing that. And this was pre-COVID, so all the events were still in person. And I was probably doing, I don't know, anywhere from 6 to 7 events a year. So like, you know, every other month I was on the road traveling to wherever.
Right.
And then there's a point at which I was asked to join the team, right? Mm-hmm. And I welcomed it, you know, and now he's paying for all my travel and you know, my time. And I get to help people make the changes in their lives, which is so amazing, like to see these transformations that are happening and to just be a little part of that, you know? And so I welcome the opportunity to do that. And that's what I've been doing for about the last 8 years with him.
Wow. And that's gotta be incredibly special.
It is incredibly special. They just had UPW, which is Unleash the Power Within.
Yep.
And he did his first ever biggest virtual event, biggest UPW ever, 30,000 people online.
Yeah.
I mean, just watching the technology for all that was incredible.
Yeah. Well, this is typical Tony, right? COVID hits and he goes to Zoom. I think it was Zoom.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, I know that you've got a maximum of, I think it's 100 people or some crazy number, is like really small, right? And he goes, can we take it to 100,000, right? And it's like, you know, and to think the way that he thinks just boggles my mind. I mean, it just, the guy just blows me away. It's like, there's no limits to anything. There's no limits to his thinking. There's no limits to, okay, we're in this thing, right? We're in this massive pandemic and everybody's feeling like they've been absolutely just shut in and shut down and stomped on and right. And living in fear and all that. Not Tony.
No.
Right. Tony just goes and figures out a way.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because I was you know, I had been so used to the in-person events. I was like, there's no way he's going to, because they're very emotional. They're very, and the energy that you feel at those events is incredible, because he's always playing great music and jumping up and down and always getting yourself in a really productive state. And, you know, I thought, oh, this is, there's going to be something left on the table just to go online. And you know what? There's nothing left on the table. It is just as impactful online. Yeah. And it's really like, it blew me away to see somebody break through that, you know, and just be like, no, I'm going to make it just as effective, just as impactful, you know? And so it's really cool. And to, you know, be surrounded with the people that are in that environment, you know, I'm lovingly kicked up to another level when I slip back, you know, and who doesn't want a peer group like that, you know, like to lovingly go, hey, you know, I don't think this is the best you, you know, it's really valuable to have people around you that know you, that can, you know, kick you in the butt when they need to, you know, so
it's, and you've got that every other month, right? Every other month, you've got an opportunity to go plug into that energy and plug into that, you know, it's love. I mean, really, it's cool.
Yeah, it is. It's really cool. Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I think it's also what's made me, you know, help me to understand there's no limits in my life, right? You know, other than here, other than my mindset, right? Okay. I can, you know, and so it's really expanded that. And I hope my message to others has been that too, you know? Yeah. So
that's cool.
It's been really valuable.
So you read Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
And it has it sounds like a massive effect on you.
Yeah.
So once you read that book, you decide to flip a house. Walk us through that decision. Walk us through that.
Right. Well, there was a lot of education after the Rich Dad, Poor Dad thing. And honestly, like, I wasn't quite sure, you know, it was real estate. I just started Googling passive income.
Yeah.
That's what I knew I wanted, because I had heard that people could live lives of, you know, what they call mailbox money, you know, money just coming into your accounts while you're off traveling the world or raising your kids or whatever it is you want to be doing. Right. And this was a myth I was following. Mm-hmm. And so I started Googling passive income, and there's a lot of things that come up. Royalties come up. There's a lot of things that come up, but real estate kept coming up, and it felt like something I could grasp, you know? And so, but I didn't have any money and I didn't know how to make money. But I was a designer and I did have a good design sense, you know, so the thought of flipping a house was like, oh, I could do that, you know, like, and I hired a mentor because I was in the Robbins environment. They say, you know, one of the principles they teach, you want to do something and you want to learn it fast, you hire a mentor and you get them to teach you how to do it. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's what I did. I hired a mentor who taught me how to first flip my first house, and he taught me really well. And I asked a lot of questions that I, after that first flip, I knew how to do it. Right. Yeah. And I could make chunks of money that way. And then I thought, well, I want to get rentals, because that's my outcome, passive income. Right. I want to get rentals. And I didn't know how to do that. I think, like a lot of people, they think, oh, I want to get something around the corner so I can keep my eye on it, blah, blah, blah. Well, I live in LA.
Right.
And the prices here are crazy.
Yeah.
And you really can't make cash flow off of them.
Right.
And I was going to all these real estate clubs and these real estate meetings, and I was meeting other investors. And I remember specifically what happened to me at one of the meetings. They had put us in groups to talk about real estate. And there I was, I had none, right? By the way, like, I had no real estate. And I was in the group with a guy who had real estate in LA, another guy who had real estate out of state, and another guy who had real estate out of country.
Wow.
And I drove home from that meeting and I thought, how do you have real estate out of the country? Like, I mean, I couldn't even you know, figure out that concept. And then I was like, wow, this is all about risk. And it's about mitigating your own risk.
Right.
Like, I'm risk averse to all of this stuff. And then I realized that I would have to invest in real estate outside of the state to actually make money and get that passive income that I was determined to get. And I'm like, all right, how do I mitigate that risk internally? Like, right. what is it I need to make me feel comfortable to be able to do that?
Right.
And I figured it out, you know, like I need to know a team. I need to feel like I'm, you know, making a good investment. So I kind of outlined that. And then I went and I started exploring different areas and how I was going to do that. And then I bought my first, but it took me a long time. It took me about, I don't know. It was probably about a year. And there was a guy at one of these real estate clubs that I'd always talked to, and because he had lots of real estate, right? And I would just always talk to him and find out more stories from him. And at one point he just turned to me and he's like, I've been watching you for a year and you haven't bought anything. Like, right. What are you gonna move?
Yeah. What's holding you back? Right.
Yeah. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, I want a date that you're going to have your first cash flow check.
Oh, I like this guy.
And I was
like, this guy.
Right. And I'm like, an actual date?
Yeah.
Like, yes.
You want a commitment from me?
Right. And I kind of figured it out right there. And I'm like, okay, this is the date. And to be honest with you, he didn't track me at all, but I had committed. I had given him a date, and I made that date. And then I called him and I'm like, I made the date.
Yeah. Well, he knew that you were making that promise to him and to you.
Yes.
Right. He knew psychologically that was going to be something that would be the impetus for you that's a goal, right? And a commitment. And
so I bought a house in Memphis, Tennessee. And I realized it wasn't as scary, you know, like all the unknowns became knowns. And I was like, I can do this. Mm-hmm. I bought 4 more that year, wow. You know,
wow. Because
I had gained some confidence.
Yeah,
I had, you know, like I was starting to experience, you know, some confidence and higher beliefs in my ability to do it. Right. And so, you know, I was exercising that faith muscle and I started really, you know, really tracking it. So it was good.
So those 4, are they cash flowing?
Yeah, I don't have one of them. And I bought others since then, you know, I have a small portfolio there that is cash flowing for me. Yeah.
Awesome. So you got your mailbox money.
I've got mailbox money. Yes, I do.
Beautiful. That's great. Awesome.
Yeah.
So you decide to start developing in Los Angeles. Take us through that mindset. What made you decide to do that?
That was great. Okay, so I was educating in LA and I was flipping and I was going through a really hard time securing homes because mm-hmm. some of the Wall Street had come in and when they were buying up homes, like nobody's business. Yeah. And so they were
still are, by the way.
Yeah, they were outpricing all of us flippers and it was really a hard time. And to be honest, I was just craving like my girls. Like I was like, I want to be around other women in this industry. And I scheduled a Sunday brunch and I scheduled a bunch of women to come. And that was actually the beginning of Ren.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to them after our brunch, and they weren't all flippers, like some of them buy and hold, some of them were, you know, storage units, some of them were in notes, all kinds of different women. Mm-hmm. And I said, I was thinking about doing this, you know, quarterly. And they were like, no, let's do it every other month. And mm-hmm. we started getting together and there was always wine involved. And, you know, we were helping each other. We were sharing resources.
Wine, AKA the problem solving elixir, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
And so we were, you know, forming this little community. And I realized, like, I get to meet these women who I think are ballers, you know, mm-hmm. and there's all these other women that don't get to meet them because when you go to real estate clubs, it's, you know, dominated by males. And usually there's a man in the front of the room and so you don't really get to meet the other women or see the other women in the front of the room. So I started the Women's Real Estate Network and we started in LA and then it grew. And I happened to go to one of our chapters in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was checking in on that chapter there. And the woman who spoke was a developer. And I went up to her afterwards and I said, wow, you're a developer. That is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, you're a flipper, right? And I said, yeah. And she goes, I used to be a flipper. Developing is so much easier. And it blew my mind.
Oh, really? Because everybody thinks it's more complicated.
Right. I said, what do you mean it's so much easier? She goes, there's a lot of pre-work. She's like, you know, like doing all the pre-work and getting all the permitting and getting all that work done is a lot. But once you start building, you just build ground up and it's nothing. She goes, you know how it is when you're flipping, you open up a house and you never know what you're getting into. Like,
true. You never know what's hidden in the walls or down below or right. Yeah.
You never know what you bought. Really. Yeah, it's like down, true. Right. It's true. And especially me, I tend to do a lot of hoarder houses, right? So like, yeah, after everything's cleaned out, you have no idea what's there. Right. But she opened up my eyes. That was the point. She opened up my eyes to me being able to be that, because I think I had always seen, first of all, no developer had ever told me, don't worry, it's easy. And no developer I had ever met was a woman. Yeah. You know, and so I came back to LA and I started seeing things differently. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, like when you start to see things, right? Mm-hmm. I met a woman who understood ground up construction more than I did. And we partnered together and we bought single families that were zoned for multi, and then we would knock them down and build fourplexes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah. And it was really great. And and that's the cool thing about having a network of women that are doing things, you know, like you get to experience and identify with other people who are like you. I mean, I'm sure Mike, just like you, like you've met people who are like, you know, you identify with that are doing something that you kind of want to do. Mm-hmm. And then they inspire you, you know, and you're like, maybe I could do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, there's a bunch of people that I've met that are actually that fit that bill, including yesterday, right? So you and I are talking, and you don't know this, but yesterday I was at a mastermind event. Mm-hmm. And when I walked in, the gentleman who invited me had been a guest on my podcast, right? And he and I had met at a networking event, an industry event. And I invited him on. He and I used to be competitors. So I'm in the flipping side of the business, right? And he worked for a flipper. I worked for a flipper. And we used to go back and forth. He would win sometimes. I would win sometimes, right? Well, he went out and started his own company. I went out and started my own company. And I invited him to come on the podcast because I truly, one of the most talented people I've ever met. And he's one of the nicest guys, really, Deborah, one of the nicest people you've ever met in your life. And so I invited him to come on the podcast. We had a great time, great interview. And afterwards I stayed in touch and he reached out and said, hey, could we get together and sit and talk? So we got together and had a cup of coffee and talked for a few minutes. And then I told him, I said, listen, if I can ever help you, you know, don't hesitate, reach out, right? So yesterday I go to this mastermind. I'm going there to learn, right? I'm going there to see what I can pick up. And I really wasn't going there to meet people or any of that kind of thing. I was just going to learn. I was just going to, because I'd never been to one of his masterminds before. And I kind of told myself I would when I could fit it in my schedule, right? So I go, and the first thing out of his mouth is, Mike, I'm so glad you're here. It'll be great to have your expertise. Yeah. I'm like, dude, I'm here to learn from you. I'm not, right? I'm just here to be a sponge, right? Turned out I really was sort of the resident expert in the room. And so afterwards, there was a big crowd of people that came up to me that are fairly new in the business, fairly new investors, that kind of thing. They had a ton of questions. And I'm now going to other events because of that. But I met some women that are getting into investing. And they're kind of where you were when they were first getting started in the flipping side and that kind of thing. And they would be perfect for networking with you. I mean, they need your kind of collaboration. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, this is really cool. And the timing is just insane, right?
It's
really cool.
And it's so, like, it's so interesting, I think, sometimes to think about, you know, hanging out with other flippers, because I do hang out with other flippers, right? Yeah. It's incredible, like, you know, there's no competition. Like, we're like, oh, I have this problem. Oh, I had that problem. This is how you could fix that problem. Yeah. Oh.
It's unbelievable what you pick up. I learned so much yesterday. I ended up doing a lot of the teaching, you know, as it turned out, but I ended up learning a lot too. I mean, it's amazing.
Right.
And they tell you, if you want to master something, go teach it.
Right.
Right. And yeah, that's, and you're a living example of
a collaborative atmosphere, right? When there's a collaborative atmosphere, nobody's egos are put out there. It's like, wow, this is fabulous. You know, it's great learning and information. So
yeah, there's some real synergy there. I love what you're doing. That's awesome. Yeah,
it's good.
Anything you're working on for the future?
So I just opened a bed and breakfast in Puerto Rico. Want to talk there about that?
Hey, my in-laws, my father-in-law will be happy to hear that. He's from Puerto Rico.
Yeah, yeah. So one of our women who I had been close to for a number of years during COVID, she's a short-term rental specialist. Here in LA, there was all kinds of problems with short-term rental. Sure. She just kind of was, and she was at this point in her life, she had gone through a divorce, her kids were raised. She was like, you know what? I don't need to be living in LA. And she just dropped the mic and she moved to Puerto Rico. And I mean, just like anybody who moves to someplace tropical, I usually raise my hand and go, I want to visit. Yeah.
Can I come help you unpack?
So I did. I raised my hand and I'm like, I want to come visit. And then I went and visited. And, you know, we ended up, because we're ridiculously real estate oriented, we ended up driving around the, you know, the island looking at real estate. And she was telling me how real estate was done there. And then, you know, we met up other people. She ended up establishing a real estate club, the only one on in Puerto Rico called Rio Rico. And and we ended up partnering, her and I and another partner ended up partnering on this project. And so we just opened this bed and breakfast up in Miramar, which is in San Juan. And it's really cute. It's really fun. And so I go to Puerto Rico on a regular basis to check on that. And
yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You gotta go check on it, right? Yeah,
absolutely.
I love it. That is so cool.
Yeah. So, and it's fun, you know, to be able to do that. Yeah.
Absolutely. What is there anything else you're working on?
I have a couple flips right now, and I have one that I think I'm going to hold, you know, like I'm cherry picking. I ended up getting into a great deal in Carmel Valley and another place that I don't mind visiting. So I might hold that. Yeah. So it's on an acre lot, and it's in this beautiful wooded area, and it's a multi-unit. So it's got, but small, it's got one unit that's a 2-2 and then a duplex that are both 1-1s. So there's a lot of issues with them. So I'm just now getting electricity to the duplex, but you know, we'll get it all cleaned up, and the cottage is all ready for rent right now. So we're doing that. And I think we might keep that one.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. So if somebody's listening to this and they're interested in joining the Women's Real Estate Network, how do they go about doing that?
You could go to wreninspires.com, wreninspires.com, and look on our event calendar. We have usually a free event once a month, and it's just to get to know us, and you know, we talk to people and you know, see who's if it's a fit. And then we also have a paid event, and they're $25. I mean, they're not a lot. And we have those as well once a month, and you can just if there's a subject matter, we have a different woman speak on a different subject every month. So we've had land, we've had flipping. This month is notes, you know, like we have a different professional speak every month. And you can find out more about us there. And if you're just interested in reaching out to me, you can go to deborahrazzo.com and schedule a time to call.
Beautiful. So we'll put a link to your website, and then also to wreninspires.com. We'll put a link on your description for the episode.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much.
Click on it and get to you.
Yeah, that would be great.
I've thoroughly enjoyed our time together. Thank you again for being our guest on the Mike Litton Experience. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, for me too. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Deborah. We hope you enjoyed another episode of the Mike Litton Experience. If you did, do us a favor, smash that subscribe button, tell your friends, family, and coworkers about our program, and wherever you get your podcasts, please leave us a rating. It helps us to connect with quality people just like you.
And that's a wrap. Another episode of the Mike Litton Experience in the books. Reach out to Mike on Instagram at Litton Realty. Want to meet with Mike? Check out calendly.com/Rio760.